was John Nash, and he had a schizophrenia problem. And when a person came up to him to inform him that he had just been awarded the Nobel Prize, Professor John Nash actually had to say to the person who informed him, are you real? And then he turned to a student near the classroom and he said to the student, is this person real? Because in his real life, John Nash, there were three people that he kept seeing and they weren't real. But for him, they were real. And they stayed with him for his entire life. So here's my question this morning. What's the connection between the scripture that Jenny read out before, Cornelius and Peter, and what's the connection with that clip that you just saw? I know it's a stretch this morning, but go to it. Work it out with the people around you. Yeah. Do we need the heater on? Do we need the heater on? Yeah, could we turn the heater on, Warren? Thanks. So work it out with the people next to you. Go to it. Okay, maybe it will become clear as we progress through the morning. Peter and Cornelius, they also heard voices, saw people, but were they real? Were they not? John Nash had that same problem. Were they real? Were they not? So that's where we're going this morning. I wonder, if, by the way, if any guys here need to use the little house on the prairie, by the way, that's the comfort room or the toilet or the lavatory or whatever you call it, please, I've been instructed, use the toilet there and not through there. This is just over the next 2 hours as I speak, okay? Let's pray. God, it is good to be here, and it's good to be with each other. It's good to be in this sacred place where, in a sense, your presence, you manifest your presence in a very special way. And it's good to be with you. It's good to be around your word. It is good to be communing with your Holy Spirit. It's good to go from here seeking to put into practice that which we learn. What a privilege all of this is. And we say thank you. Thank you for opening the door to a wonderful life. Thank you for this privilege, this spiritual adventure. We all said, Amen. Okay, here we go, guys. Who's got a cat? I hate cats. Could I have the slides up, Matthew, please, for my PowerPoints? Next one. Yes. My job is a hard job when you have to look at things that you don't like. Here's my first question this morning. My first question. Do cats talk? Hands up. Do cats talk? I mean, it goes like this. When a cat comes towards you and it has its tail up and vertical, what's it saying? Yeah, it is actually. It is saying hello. And what is the appropriate response? Yeah, that's right. To rub on its head. Nowhere else, but apparently on its head, okay? When a cat does this, it rolls over on its back with its legs up. What is the feline language? Someone said submission, give me another one. Beg your pardon? Yeah, I think it's actually, apparently according to the research. Lisa, stop screwing up your face. This is a scientifically based approach. Apparently to the research, there is a sense of real trust. And the last thing the cat wants you to do is rub its stomach. Did you know that? It's actually, if you listen to cats, they're really trying to tell you that, again, it's a rub on the head. Here's another one. What does, when a cat rubs against your leg as you're sitting on a chair, what is the cat, in cat language, trying to say to you? Mike says, I'm hungry. Give me another one. Yeah, that's it. Who said this over here? May. Yeah, that's right. The cat is trying to apparently tell us that your smell is strange. And so it's resenting you. Yes! So you come here every morning to learn something new. When the cat's ears are flat, down and flat, angry or? No, you keep saying hungry, Mike. You'll get it right one day. But when the ears are flat and down, yeah, it's scared. And actually, if you listen to feline language, and you've done the course, it's actually wanting a hiding place. And so they do say, apparently, in cat world, that you must have a safe, secure hiding place for cats, especially when their ears are down. Here's another one. What about when the cat licks and licks and licks? Don't say anything, Mike. When the cat licks and licks and licks, what is it trying to tell us? Now that's, Brian would say, just had food. Most people would think that. But according to cat language, something else is going on. It's nervous. Yeah, it's nervous. Could we have the next slide up? There you go. That's cat language. For those who have cats, true or not? Oh, shut up, Brian. Okay. Cat language. Thank you. Just leave it. You could turn the slide off now, actually. Matthew will come back. So, I had to find an interesting way to begin today's talk. And I know it's a bit geeky, but it's the best I could do for today. But it goes like this. What intrigues me is that a lot of people, and a lot of people even in a church like this, would say that cats talk. Yes? Yeah. But when it comes to the cat creator, they struggle to believe that God speaks. Isn't that interesting? That we're quite willing to admit that the creation talks. Even nature out there, the heavens declare. And we're quite willing to admit that the creation does talk, be it the cat or the tree, the skies or the heavens. But when it comes to the creator of creation, we struggle and we say, does he really speak today? Now, I think if you picked up this book here, you picked up the scriptures, really there's not a page that doesn't go by where he's not talking in some form, shape or manner. I mean, there's a God who loves to communicate and he comes screaming off these pages. Give me some incidences in this book where God speaks. Please, yell it out. Yell it out. Give me one. At the baptism of Jesus, give me another one. Build me an ark to Noah, give me another one. Moses, the burning bush, give me another one. The transfiguration, there's Elijah, Jesus, and who was the third one? Moses. Listen to my son. Give me another one. Samuel, calling of Samuel, three times, mentions his name. Beautiful, affectionate, loving, knows your name. Give me another one. Revelation. And Rebecca, Revelation, give me the incident, the episode. Yeah, the seven, where the angel of the Lord thus says this to the seven churches. Okay, give me another one. Eden, where are you? Where are you? The God who just keeps saying, where are you? Actually, where are you? Genesis 1 through 3. Give me another one. Jonah. What did you say to Jonah? Yeah, go to Nineveh. Give me another one. Aaron? Yes, that's right. Abraham and Isaac. Give me another one. Gideon. Dale, what did you say? Gideon. Yep. Yep. He said yep. Give me another one. Sodom and Gomorrah with Lot. Give me another one. Hagar. I mean, Hezekiah, you're going to live another 15 years. He goes to Ezekiel and says, by the way, this day your wife, she will die. He goes to Mary, the teenage girl, and says, by the way, I want to make my way into this world. I'm going to do it by way of your womb. Slightly left field. Give me another one. Adam and Eve, where are you? So there's a whole lot of... So the topic this morning, people, is God speaks. God speaks. Here is a story. You like stories. Here's a story. True story. God speaks today. Today. There's a particular girl. Her name, believe it or not, is Harmony Dust. Now, Harmony Dust, when she was 19, she was holding down three kind of things in her day. She was going to teacher training college. She was having to do placement and do studies. And then also at night time, she was a stripper. So she would go to a strip joint near LA Airport, and she'd get her gear off, and she'd do the whole thing with the pole and dance naked in front of leering men. This is Harmony Dust. And she had a boyfriend, and his name was Derek, and Derek abused her. So from 7 a.m. in the morning to 7 p.m. at night time, she would do her schooling type stuff. Then she'd go to the strip joint, do her stuff there. Then the money that she earned, she would then come back, and she'd give it to Derek, who had just spent it on videos, on drugs, on booze, on his other girlfriend, who was also living with them. Because he got her pregnant, she moved in. And so here was this girl, 19, the name of Harmony Dust. Her life on this earth was hell. And she was about 19, as I said, and she just wanted to commit suicide. Now, I don't know about you people, but when you meet people like this, you know, let's be honest. If we said, oh, what do? You know, and they just said, oh, I work at a strip joint. I mean, a lot of us, most of us here would go, whoa. But you know, one thing in life I've learned is never prejudge a human being. I mean, to prejudge another human being is to damage that human being. I mean, people do all manner of things because of all manner of things. Let me tell you what happened to Harmony Dust. When she was 3, her father used to plonk her in front of porn programs. When she was 5, she was sexually abused. When she was 14, she was raped. Her mother was a cocaine addict. Her father was a dealer. When she was a little bit older, she was at a party and they were, you know, playing cards. And then one guy said, well, look, if I win the next card round, I win you, Harmony. I win you. That was the stack. That was the lot. That was the stuff in the middle of the card table. Your name, you. And I win you. And he won her. And so for the next 7 years, she had to live with this guy called Derek. So she finally gets to this point where I said before that she's suicidal. And then she meets Tanya. She meets Tanya in a church. I mean, no, she actually met Tanya somewhere else, and Tanya said, come to church. So she started going to Tanya's church. And she just used to just see these ordinary people like us and listen to these extraordinary people like me. And then eventually she gave her heart to Christ. But she carried on working at the strip joint. So what her, like for example, Wednesday night program would be, she would turn up to a small group that night, do the small group, and then afterwards go to the LA airport where the strip joint was and get a gear off. There was one particular night in the strip joint, and she was doing her getting ready to do her stuff, and then she heard a song being played on the radio, and it was by Prince. Anyone know Prince? Prince. And the song was Purple Rain. And as she heard that song being played, she knew then and there that God was speaking to her. She just knew that God was speaking to her. Because that song that was being played was the very song that she heard when she became a Christian and she said to God, God, I'll only do the strip thing for another 3 months. But it was 3 years later when she heard the song again. And when she heard it, she knew God was speaking to her. 3 years later. It wasn't 3 months that she stopped. She was still doing it 3 years later. And I don't know how this works, but she just believed that God was speaking to her in that song. And so what she did was that very night she quit. She gave her strip gear to the other girls. She got rid of Derek. She started to get control of her life. And today she heads up a ministry helping other girls in the strip industry. Now, I don't know what you take from that story. What I learned from that story, and listen to me, what I learned from that story was that God speaks. And here's the thing. He speaks. When did he speak to her? In her situ. In her situation. In her space. In her place. Not when she was getting her gear on, when she was getting her gear off. I think that's brilliant. God is present in our place, in our space, in our situ, in our situation, wherever we are. And I have a word for the young mums this morning. And my word to the young mums this morning is this, that when it come to, her name is Monique now, Monique, Harmony Dust, her name is Monique. She didn't hear God in a cathedral, in a chapel, in a church, in a convent. She didn't hear God in a time of solitude, in a silent retreat. You can hear God in those places. But no, she heard God in the midst of it all. So when the dishes are piling up and there's heaps of clothes in the lounge or the dining room, and you're crying against the wall, or you're planting your fist through the wall. In our situ, in our space, in our place, God speaks. Yes? I mean, that's a great encouragement. It is a great encouragement. Some of you here are busy bosses. And, you know, on your desk at work, stuff it's just piling up. There's stacks of stuff that you've... God is present. And there are some people here and out there who are bored blokes. And even in that situ, in that situation, God is present. God speaks. Wherever we are, God speaks. He's present. Yes? Okay. Second story. There's a guy by the name of John, true story, John. And he just felt that he was being asked to give up a hobby. God was asking for him to give up his hobby, one of his hobbies. Nothing wrong with a hobby. God was just asking him to give it up. He just had this impression. He didn't really know what to do with this. So about 6 months later, went to bed, had a dream. Had a dream in the middle of the night. Woke up, he could remember the dream vividly. Just recall, instant recall about this dream. And in the dream, there was a particular guy. He recognized the guy. His name was Paul Kane. He knew Paul Kane. He just knew this guy. And Paul said to him in his dream, you have got to give up this hobby. So he woke up and he thought, wow, I remember 6 months ago I had an impression about giving up this hobby. God is really speaking to me. This was 6 months later. So then, but he still wasn't too sure. So this guy, John, said, well, God, if you're really, 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 really speaking to me, when I meet Paul Kane today, because he was down to meet Paul Kane this very day, I want you to prod him for him to raise it with me. Not me to raise it with him, but for him to raise it with me. So he turns up to this thing. Paul Kane is there. He has to take Paul Kane to the airport. Now, driving to the airport, okay, here's John. He's driving. Paul Kane seated next to him, going to the airport. And then Paul says, you know, you won't believe this. Last night I had 3 dreams. And the third dream was about you. And in that dream, I just heard these words, tell John he's got to give up the hobby. Now, I don't, friends, know what you take from that. Do you know what I take from that story? God will go to any lengths to get our attention. He just loves to talk. You can't get him to shut up at times. With all due respect. Suddenly a lightning bolt comes out. Oh, that's one way to shut him up. God, it seems as though we'll go to any length at times to speak. And here we come to our passage in Acts chapter 10 this morning. And we read in Acts chapter 10, you know, that, like for example, Cornelius, it says he was devout and all his household revered God and he gave alms generously. And then it says he constantly prayed to God. The thing I like about Cornelius, by the way, you know where the name Cornelius comes from? Of course you don't. Let me tell you. Cornelius, there was a general in the Roman army. His name was Cornelius Sulla. And in the year 82 BC, this general won a big battle. And his soldiers were slaves. He had 10,000 slaves. Those were his soldiers. When he won the battle, he said to the 10,000, you are now freedmen. You are free. And they were all so rapt that most of them took on the name Cornelius. And so this guy comes from humble beginnings. He eventually becomes this kind of, you know, captain, this kind of centurion in the army, in the armed forces. And it says here, he wasn't just a soldier in the armed forces. He was a prayer warrior. It says here, he prayed constantly. People, I want to say, pray constantly. Do you do that? Pray in the car, pray on the toilet, pray in the shower, pray as you're doing the dishes, pray as you walk around the house, pray as you go to the shop. Never, never, never stop talking to God. Never. Thank you, David. Miracles. Never stop. And here's the thing with Cornelius, is that as he was praying, God then spoke. And my point this morning is, it can be two-way communication at times. It's not just one way. That God does speak. I mean, we saw that in the situation with Peter. Here's Peter, this kind of fisherman guy, and it says of Peter in Acts chapter 10 that he also was praying. So these guys, they're really praying. They love to talk to God. Prayer is not something you do, it's someone you talk to. So they were talking to this God. And then as he was talking, what happened? God spoke. God speaks. And Peter received a vision during the day. Now, I have a word for the blokes here. Blokes. You see, whenever we get onto these topics like spiritual disciplines and God speaking, do you know what a lot of guys think? They think, oh, that's for the super spirituals. That's for the mystical people. That's for the guys who have got, you know, those sort of fingers with fingernails that are... You got it. And you know, a lot of guys, a lot of blokes think that all of this stuff is not for them. It's for the women. And it's for those guys who, I don't know, you know, have got blue eyes and sort of slightly blonde hair and manicured fingernails. And they're kind of, definitely not you, Brian. They're kind of mystical. Look, I want you to hear, these two guys are blokes. I mean, this guy Cornelius, he was in the armed forces. I mean, who saw the movie Gladiator? Think Russell Crowe. That's who we're talking about here with Cornelius. He was a bloke. And when you think of Peter here, he was a fisherman. And it was rugged in those days. It was dangerous. A lot of fishermen lost their lives. I mean, think Jeff Thomas, Radio Sport today. I don't know. But these two guys were blokes. And they talked to God a lot. And they heard God speak. Come on, guys. Yes? Now, there's another guy in Scripture that I want us to go to. If you've got your Bibles, come with me to Matthew. Okay? Matthew. Going to finish with this. Matthew. And come with me to Matthew chapter 1. And verse 20. This is Joseph. Now you listen to this. Listen carefully, people. It says that Joseph, you know, because like his wife has just got pregnant, not to a guy, but miraculously through the divine intervention of the Creator God at the center of the universe. In those days, if your wife got pregnant to someone else, your life was in danger. And so Mary and Joseph, you know, they are living at risk. But then verse 20, and while Joseph was considering this, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream. Okay, now if you come with me to chapter 2, and where do we go here? Chapter 2. There are four references here to when Joseph has a dream. Verse 13, for example. After the Magi had gone, suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph again in a dream. And you might want to have a look at this later. I should have marked these out before, but in this section of Scripture here, there are four instances when Joseph had a dream. Now, Joseph was a chippy. Joseph was a tradie. Joseph was a selfie. He was a bloke. And he had dreams. God speaks. God spoke to this bloke. How does God... Now, God often spoke to Joseph through a dream. How does God often speak to you? Because sometimes he often speaks in one particular way with each one of us. How does God often speak to you? So could I have the next slide up, Matthew? That's Monique, by the way, that we told the story about before. Next one. Now, how does God often speak to you? Have you seen these? Let me read them out very quickly. See which one you are. For the person where it says intellectual, right at the top left-hand corner, for these people, God often speaks to them as they read a book, as they dip into literature. They learn new things, and it's though God is speaking to them. Okay, that's the intellectual. The relational person across there, you know, as you mix it with people, as you do time with people, God often speaks to you through people. The next one along there is serving. As you just do practical things for other people, somehow, you know, you see things, you know, you observe things in your servanthood, as you're just serving other people. And God somehow uses those impressions to speak to you. The fourth one is worship. When you're in a company of people and there's adoration and praise, something really deep happens in your heart. And it's like God begins to well up within and you begin to hear his voice. Worship. The activist. For these people, prayer and action go together. In the heat of the battle, they hear the commander's voice. That's the activist. The contemplative person, this is the person who in silence and solitude, they hear the whispers of the Spirit. Creation, these are the tree huggers. These are the people who love to get out into nature. And as it says in the Psalms, the heavens declare. So for these people, as they get out into nature, they just hear and see God's messages to them in the trees and the animals and the birds, wherever. The tree huggers. Which one are you, essentially? Which one of these has God often used to speak to you? Tell the person next to you. Okay, friends, how many intellectuals do we have in the room? For you, it's reading a book. Show of hands. Quite a number. How many would go over into relational? It's three people. Okay, how many would go into serving? You know, you're out there. Okay, thank you, Linda. How many would go into worship? Here's quite a number. How many would go into activism? Yep. Couple there. Contemplation, silence and solitude, withdrawal. Yeah. How many would go into creation? Quite a number. Okay. The key with this kind of passage is, or these kind of things here, is these are all good. But my plea this morning is this. God will often use one way, yes, to speak to us. But remain open to the random. Remain open to the unexpected, the dream in the night, the vision during the day, the strong impression, the idea that great gate crashes your mind. Remain open to the unexpected and embrace it. Last Sunday morning, I was speaking somewhere else, and it goes like this. On the Thursday before last Sunday, they wanted my PowerPoint. I flicked it through. They wanted the title of the topic. I flicked it through. Everything went through on the Thursday. Then I bowled up to this place on the Sunday, and no sooner had I got through the door on Sunday, I heard a whisper, a voice. And this voice said to me, Mick, I want you to now speak on this. And I said, no. I mean, I was all prepared. I had my notes, my PowerPoint. I was psychologically in the zone to do this. And the voice said to me, I want you to do this. I had no notes, nothing whatsoever. I wasn't even thinking about that. I wasn't prepared for it. So for the rest of the service, you know what it's like? I went to and fro, to and fro, to and fro, came back to this. Then it got to the last song. Before I had to get up. And in the last song, there were words that went with the new topic. And I went, oh, no. And then I went, no. And I went back to the original topic. And I went to and fro during that song. They introduced me, and I was walking up the steps to come up to the front. And they can tell you this, it's all true. I was walking up to the on the platform. And I was still going to and fro in my mind. So I said to the gathered group, I said, I'm not too sure what to speak on. So could you just talk to the person next to you? Don't worry, we do that in our church all the time. Just turn to the person next to you, you know, and I'll try and get it sorted. So they all started chatting. As I was up there going to and fro, a guy came down the aisle. And he came right up to me and he said, Mick, could you put your hand over the mic? So I put my hand over the mic and he said, I think God wants you to speak on, and he gave me the words. And the words were exactly this. He didn't know. He didn't know this. And I was just like, whoa. See, God speaks. So I went back to this. No. Can we have the final slide? Final slide, Matthew. Next one. Do you like it? Forgive the nudity. It's not me, by the way, on the left. Michelangelo, Sistine Chapel. What do you look into? When you see that painting, you've got Adam, humanity, on the left-hand side, and you've got God on the right-hand side. What's the difference between the two? What's the difference? I mean, what's humanity like? What's humanity? Yeah, whatever, she'll be right. And notice the hand, it's slightly down. You know, it's kind of indifferent. Oh, yeah, okay. And what's God like? He's stretching. He's reaching out. We need to know that we have a God who is reaching out toward us. We need to know that we have a God who is pro you, who's on your side, and who is so reaching out to you. Stretching out. That's what our God's like. So, I've got to finish. I've said it three times now. We have someone in our fellowship who is a seer. Have you heard that title? S-E-E-R. This person gets words from the Lord for other people. Kind of like a prophet. And this person came and talked to me some months ago. Actually, it was last year. And so we started to talk about this, as you have to do, kind of check it out, work it out, all that kind of stuff. And then it just so happened that a friend of mine, another pastor, was wondering whether they should shift from their church. And they were struggling to get guidance, because sometimes it's like that. We struggle to get guidance ourselves, so we need other people. So I said to this other pastor, I said, oh, we have a seer in our church, actually. And this person, sometimes she gets words for other people. I'll pass your need on to her. So I passed it on to her, and almost within a day, the seer came back with a particular, and it was strange, actually. I couldn't make sense of it. And it was just kind of one or two lines, a bit cryptic, you know. It was just. So I passed it on to this pastor. He got it straight away. Bang on. Right on. Boom. Just like that. So I thought, So I said to this person, would you mind if we make you available? You know, people turn up, give you $100. I'll take 20%. It could be a real good racket. So I said, how about we wait for the Lord's time on this and then work out a bit of a process? Could we have the next slide, Matthew? So, how do I meet this seer? This person will be at church Tuesday mornings from 10 a.m. to 12. Come for a face-to-face meeting or send an email through to the church office. Like you might want to send it to me, the church office, and say, yeah, look, I'm really struggling with a bit of guidance. I'm not hearing from God. The phone is off the hook in terms of me, but you seem to have the hotline. could you please... So you can meet this person face-to-face, or it could be through emails. Next one. Does it cost money? No, I'm volunteering my time as direct. So this person, she feels that it's purely voluntary. You know, of course there's no money involved. Of course not. Next one. What shall I say or talk about? Well, do you have a question or do you need spiritual advice from the Lord? Are you in a situation where you suspect that there might be more going on spiritually? And just want, you're struggling to get insight, framing your situation. Maybe this person can help you see what's really going on. Next one. How long will the meeting take? Roughly 10 to 15 minutes or more. Don't have to necessarily set up an appointment. Just come between 10 and 12 on Tuesday mornings. Okay, next one. Is there another one? Will what I say be kept confidentially? Yep, definitely. Next one. Is there anything else I need to know? You are responsible for checking to make sure that what you heard was from the Lord, because it may not be. Maybe the seer woke up on the wrong side of the bed that morning, you know, all that kind of stuff. So you have to check it out. Also, you are responsible for the choices you make resulting from the answers you receive. So it's not something, you know, I like the in Scripture when Mary heard something, she pondered it. She let it sit in her heart to see if it was so. Okay, next one. Is that it? Yeah, that's it. So we have a seer. If you want to use that spiritual gifting, it's now available. What do you think? Is that good? Okay. So either send me an email. You don't have to tell me the details. Just say you want to see this person. Send the church office an email or turn up on Tuesdays between 10 and 12. Yeah. Would you like to come to the front, Anita? We're going to pray. This is a person who exercises at times a gifting of being a seer. Let's pray. Our Lord, we've been reminded today that you speak. At times, we do not hear from you because you want us to actually work through things ourselves. And at other times, we don't hear from you because we need to hear something through others. And you gift your body with all sorts of people. And we thank you for Lanita. And we, Lord, are wanting to embark on an experiment, a journey. And here is your daughter. And here are you, and here are us. So, Lord, you shepherd this process. You direct it. You lead it. You speak through it. In love and mercy and compassion. And we ask these things in your name, Lord, for the sake of your people. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Did I leave anything out? Is that all right? You feeling okay up here? Cool. Okay. Well, I think we're done, people. I don't think Malcolm, where's Malcolm? I don't think we'll sing. I think we'll leave it at that. Yeah. Let's all stand. Next Sunday morning, by the way, I want to talk about another spiritual discipline, food. Next Sunday morning, again from Acts 10, it's about foodies and food. The spiritual discipline of celebration. Can I ask that some bring not a plate of sausage rolls, not a plate of Sammy's, but a delicacy? And let Carol in the office know. Bring a delicacy. Because I want to finish next Sunday morning. And we've got people coming up to talk about foodies and food. It's going to be a party. It's a celebration. It comes out of Acts 10. It's all about food. But delicacies. Can anyone offer to do that? Bring a plate of a delicacy. Whatever for you is a delicacy. But let it not be sausage rolls and Sammy's. And it's not a potluck dinner next Sunday. It's not potluck lunch. It's not. It's just straight after the service. It's just delicacies. Because it fits in with our topic. So please see Carol. Okay? see the office, bring a plate, that'd be great. Following Sunday after that, Ruby's talking. Okay, Ruby, she'll be speaking on prejudice. Again, out of Acts 10. Out of Acts 10. Mary, happy birthday. When actually was it? It was yesterday. The big five. No, it was a milestone. It was the big six for Mary. So let's do it, eh? Shall we do it? Okay, one, two, three. Happy birthday. About